Today on 4CA. John McKenzie. 1-300-872-911.
You may not have been one of the people in those long queues waiting for a test, a COVID test, in the last several weeks, but those who were said it's just been agonising, some of the delays. And, of course, the hot weather we've had to endure as well. My God, it must have been uncomfortable for a lot of them, particularly the elderly. I know some of them didn't take folding chairs along. Well, they mightn't have been able to carry. They mightn't have even owned them, but I bet they wished they'd had them there. People said they ran out of water, particularly over at the hospital. The one lady said, oh, we weren't allowed to get the water from inside the cafe there. So they suffered also from thirst. So it's been really, really uncomfortable. But people hung in there for several hours just to find out, be given a yes or a no on whether they've been infected. Now, this is a very interesting article in the Cairns Post today from Yashi Sharma. It's under the heading Mega Clinic Cure for Cairns Test Queues. It reads, a big new testing clinic has opened up at the Cairns Showgrounds to ease demand for PCR checks, as 516 new COVID cases were added to the region's total. That's us up here, 516 yesterday. Now, the Cairns Health Service Allied Health Executive Director, this is Donna Goodman, said there was one COVID patient in intensive care, about 20 in the region's hospital wards, with most cases in isolation. I think the state figure, I'll get to that a little bit later. But this isn't terrifying in numbers as yet, certainly, compared with what people might have expected just a few short months ago. Anyway, it goes on to say, most cases isolation, and the people are in isolation. They're managing their own symptoms at their own homes. Hundreds of possible cases are waiting to receive their test results. Now, after a spell where people queued for hours in the far north heat to get tested, the new clinic at the showgrounds made a swift impact, with patients being seen quickly on the first day of operation. Now, this is the good bit. 16 testing booths. The site boasts 16 testing booths, a big step up from the 5 normally found in other testing sites. So this is a cause for celebration with the people that feel they've been putting off the test. I mean, you might have heard Don Mackey the other day saying, well, here is the list of symptoms, and it wasn't one or two. I mean, there was stomach aches, sore throat, sniffled. It was more than even cold symptoms, and there was a big variety. And whatever sort of sickness you have at the moment, I think the hint was, well, just go and get a test anyway. Well, now it's easier. Donna's on the line. Dr. Donna Goodman, Allied Health Director at our Cairns Hospital. Donna, good morning.
Good morning, John.
I think, Donna, a whole lot of people will cheer that this new alternative has opened up. I'm watching out my window at the people that are going to get their jabs. Of course, there's been a lot of demand for that too. But also for the testing, I've seen the big long queues there at the hospital. I know down in Ormola Street they've had big long queues as well. How much will this opening at the over at the showgrounds relieve those sites?
I think it'll have an enormous impact on all of our testing sites. It will be, in addition to the increased capacity, as you said, we've gone from 5 booths to 16 booths.
Yes.
It also frees up some extra clinical space at the emergency department at Cairns Hospital, where we'll be able to triage COVID patients or COVID suspect patients from people who have other emergencies that need to be dealt with. So we'll use that space there to increase our safety of triaging patients. But it'll also give easier parking, easier access for people trying to get those tests.
Now, the one over at the showgrounds, was that open yesterday or Monday? I'm confused here.
It opened yesterday.
Yesterday. Was there a rush, or did people take a while to realise it was an option?
There wasn't a rush, but they were able to process the people really quickly. So there weren't great big long lines there yesterday. But as you were talking about, the uncomfortable wait in the sun and the rain will be a thing of the past, because the new facility is air conditioned. So that's great for our staff as well as for patients, because they are working in PPE all the time. So we do have water there as well. And yeah, there's seats available for people to wait. We're getting some marquees up so that if the lines do extend outside the building, will be able to have undercover areas. But the other thing is that there's the great big grandstand there that if we do have lines, people will actually be able to sit in the grandstand and be undercover and have a seat and all that sort of stuff. So it will just be a much better approach all around.
Unprecedented luxury when you're talking about being undercover in the middle of summer in the tropics. Which pavilions are there? I presume it's in the Djalé, is it?
Yes, in the Djalé Pavilion. So you can get in through the front entry, you know, those lovely brick gates at the front that are on Mulgrave Road, or you can get in through the side entrance on Sheridan Street, on Severn Street, and there's parking there as well.
Oh, you can park in the showgrounds, can you?
Yes, there's limited parking there, but you can also park outside on the front as well.
Oh, this is terrific news. Look, the other point too, and I now have lost the figures, I was looking at Dr. Gerard's statewide figures for the infection. Of course, we've got hundreds, I think. I can't find it now. But the numbers of those in intensive care, I think it was 27, which is remarkably low considering now he said that we've got more than 100,000 cases in Queensland. So once again, what's our situation here, Don? Or I was talking to Don the other day. He seemed to think there might be one Delta case at the hospital, but how's the hospital coping so far?
The hospital is coping very well. We've obviously been planning for an influx of patients over a long period of time. We have had to dramatically readjust our plans recently with the emergence of the Omicron variant, but we do have one patient in intensive care at the moment, and we have about 20 inpatients in the hospital, which we're able to manage. But the vast majority of people have been vaccinated, and that means that they are getting a lot less serious illness. So the most people are able to stay at home. And we've got what we're calling a virtual ward, which is where people manage in their own home and they have access via telephone to get medical support and advice if they need it. And if they are becoming unwell, we can do symptom screens on people. And if they're becoming unwell, we can increase the level of support that they get at home, or we can bring them into hospital. But also, if people deteriorate rapidly or they have chest pains or shortness of breathing or dizziness, they need to ring an ambulance and get into the emergency department for care straight away.
Now, at the hospital, are unvaccinated patients representing a higher proportion of cases?
I think across Australia, that's the case, that the people who are having to go into hospital are more likely to be unvaccinated. There are some vaccinated people who have comorbidities or who are unlucky enough to have a serious illness, even though they're vaccinated, but the vast majority of people in hospital are unvaccinated.
I think it was worth mentioning, it's just that I was talking with Don Mackey a couple of days ago and made the point that just watching people over here and then finding out later about the proportion of those getting their first jab, now they're coming in the last week or so after seeing the proportion of unvaccinated people going into hospital. And I think that's interesting that people at this late stage, at long last, the so-called hesitancy may be at an end with some of people and they're going to get that first jab, which is encouraging.
That's right. It's it often is people will make a decision based on what's happening locally.
Yeah.
So while we were living in a COVID-free area up here for a long time, and we were very lucky to be able to suppress the virus for such a long period of time, now that we have got it and we are expecting that we're going to have a lot more cases leading to a peak of numbers around the end of January, a lot of people are making the decision that they need to protect not only their own health but also that of their family and their community.
Now, I've just got a reminder on my screen. People are ringing and asking about the Pear. Now, that'll be, I presume, for the jab, will it? They're opening an alternative to the convention centre at the Pear. When will that happen? Do you know?
At the moment, we had made a plan to move our vaccination centre to the Pier because we thought that the convention centre wasn't going to be available after this week. But we have now got other options available to us and we may be able to continue at the convention centre. So we're just looking at the moment about what the best location is.
Okay.
And if we can continue at the convention centre, we may make a decision to do that rather than moving to the Pier. but we haven't finalised planning around that at the moment. So we will make some announcements. If there is a change to the convention centre and we move to the pier, we will announce that to the media as well and let everybody know ahead of time.
By the way, at the news centre over at the showgrounds, are rapid antigen tests available in certain circumstances?
Yes, at the moment we do have a supply of rapid antigen tests. Because there is limited supply, though, we do need to restrict those to three different groups of people. Mm-hmm. One is the critical essential workers, so those are the ones who are, transport drivers, police, ambulance, healthcare workers. The second group is people who are in quarantine and they need to do a six-day test, a day six test before they can leave quarantine. Yeah. So they need a rapid antigen test. And then the third one is people who need a clearance to go back to work or to go to work each day. So we're providing rapid antigen tests to those people at the moment. We recognise that there are other people that would like to have rapid antigen tests as well, just to check and see whether they do actually have COVID or not. But we're encouraging those people to maintain contact with their local pharmacy and just try and obtain one through those commercial areas until we can get more supplies as well.
Everyone's knocking on the door. They're waiting at the doors of the pharmacies every day, I hear.
Yes.
Hoping and praying for supplies to arrive. Can I ask you, with those rapid antigen tests over there at the Jarlay, do you have to pay?
No.
Okay, well, that's interesting for some people who are struggling financially, and there's lots of those around. Can I just ask you this one too? Yes. This is on front page of The Australian today, actually talking here about people trying to get their rapid antigen tests all over the place, but they're frustrated and walking around with scratchy throats, trawling from one pharmacy to the next. Once again, what are the giveaway? What are the telltale signs of actually having COVID, even though you mightn't be seriously sick? Scratchy throats obviously is one of them. What are some of the others, Donna?
A fever, runny nose. Some people are having diarrhoea. I was listening to your comment before about the list of symptoms, and it is a very extensive list of symptoms. So I think if people have got any flu-like symptoms, they should, rather than running around everywhere to get a rapid antigen test, if they can't get one, it's better to stay at home and treat themselves as if they have got COVID, and to wait until they are symptom-free before they go back out into the community again. So if you can't get a rapid antigen test, just assume you've got it if you've got any of those symptoms that we listed before, about the runny nose, the scratchy throat, the fever, flu-like symptoms, anything like that. Mm.
Some people will say, look, I'm too busy and it's just so minor. Is it important? Is it imperative to go and have the test?
It's not imperative to have the test, but it is important that you isolate if you've got symptoms. So even if you don't have COVID and you've got symptoms of the flu, it may actually be the flu, and it would be a good idea to isolate as well so that you don't pass that on to your family members or other people who are vulnerable.
What do you say to married couples?
Often it once it gets into a household, it does go through the household, because it can take people a little while to recognise that they do actually have symptoms. Other couples have managed to have one person in the family positive and to isolate quickly enough and effectively enough to do it. But the key thing around this is that we need to make sure that we follow all of our infection control processes around social distancing, hand washing, wearing a mask. So if one member of a couple in a household was infected or had symptoms and they weren't able to isolate because they only had one bathroom, for example, making sure that you used separate, sleeping and dining areas, that you didn't use the same implements, that you washed your hands, that you wore a mask, all of those sorts of things will dramatically reduce the spread of any infection, including COVID.
Now, just a couple of days ago, I had a discussion with Trent Toomey, the pharmacist, about what to do to ease the symptoms, and we talked about paracetamol. There had been a report in a newspaper that it could be a good idea to start taking paracetamol before you got the bloody thing. So he said, no, that's a silly idea, but once you do get it for relief, paracetamol is appropriate. But now you've mentioned one of the symptoms being diarrhoea. I don't know if paracetamol would be the answer. You'd be better off getting a diarrhoea pill, wouldn't you?
Yes, and the thing about it is once you've got it, symptom management is the key. So if your diarrhea is so bad that you're actually becoming dehydrated, it's important to manage it. But that's probably been one of the more minor symptoms. So people should talk to their doctor if they're concerned about any of their symptoms or if they're unsure about how they should be managing it. Mm. So diarrhea in a very young child, for example, is much more dangerous than it is in an adult. So yeah. Everybody needs to use their links to their existing medical treatment, you know, places so that they're able to get the advice that's right for them.
Donna, this has been really worthwhile information and lots of it. Thank you for this. There'll be people at home saying, oh, thank God, I've just had about 10 answers to my questions, my queries. So it's been really worthwhile. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thanks very much for sharing the information.
Dr. Donna Goodman, Allied Health Director at Our Cairns Hospital. And I think that would have answered a hell of a lot of queries and maybe settled down some doubts about health problems. Hopefully that's been your experience. If you do have a question you'd like asked, we can organise to have it asked on air, because if you've got a query, lots of other people have probably got exactly the same query. But that news about the Dejale Pavilion, which is the one corner of what's that, Sheridan and Mulgrave Road, which is where everyone, I think, just about everyone enters the show. So that's where you go. It's air-conditioned. And they've got the grandstand open too, so you're not going to get wet, you're not going to get boiling hot. Dr. Donna Goodman there from our hospital. It's 4 minutes to 10.